Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Welcome along to this weekend's Racing Postcards. Myself, Dave Orton, in the seat today. Joined in the studio by Paul Keeley, on the line in Ireland by David Jennings, and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. Now, Haydock looks like it might, Keels, be a little bit rough terrain up there. Are they going to make it?
Look at the temperatures forecast by the Met Office. I mean, they should do, unless they get loads of snow and it don't shift. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to worry about it yet. I think we just treat it as though it's going ahead. Might be softer ground than people are expecting, though.
There's a cracking card up there, so let's hope it does. No such problems at Ascot. Gents, let's just whittle straight on. Interesting card. One of the trickiest races of the day, thought, was the 150 Mares Grade 2, Paul. Where can we start here?
Start with a winner, hopefully. I think Culture de Civil is... It's just good crying out for a stiff 3 miles. She just stays really, really well. She was 20-1 when third at Kempton, just behind, if you say Run, is that the name of it? I can't remember now.
Yes.
And you know, obviously, if you say Run was, you know, hanging all over the place, but she looked like getting dropped 10, 15 lengths, turning for home, and she ran on. She was only beaten about 11 and three quarters into third. She's come out and won since. She just looks like an out-and-out stayer. She's her dam is a half-sister, Rev de Civilo, who obviously loved Ascot, and I just think the stiff test is really going to suit her. The Jesse Harrington horse has been made favourite. I'm just not sure about that. She's done all her forms chasing. She was rated 113 over hurdles, beat 20 lengths last time she ran over hurdles off that mark. I think she's short enough. And if you say Run... I'd imagine that having ridden her twice now in the last two times that she's hung left, that Harry Cobden will go straight for the rail as soon as he can, turning for home.
We've seen that there this season, haven't we?
Yeah. But I just think Culture de Civil will outstay him.
Let's have a word about Magic of Light with DJ then. Dave Jennings, what do we make of this one?
Yeah, a real improver, like a cracking run to Tritown at Navan. She was third to 2A per me. That was a really good run, and she progressed again, I thought, to win last time at Newbury. The race fell apart a little bit at Newbury. Like, it wasn't exactly the greatest chase you've ever seen at Newbury. For I think it was a listed race. A Drinks Interval was a little bit disappointing. As Paul alluded to there, 113 over hurdles she is at the moment in Ireland. I know she hasn't ran over hurdles for a long time, but to be 9-4 favourite in a race of this nature, I don't think she's any value. Actually, you say it's a bit of a minefield. This is probably one of my strongest fancies of the weekend.
Here we go.
I really like Culture de Civil, like Paul. She missed a year with a back problem. She got a really bad fall at Fontwell a while ago, and she got a bad back problem, but she looked to be coming back to herself. Like, she was a length and three quarters behind If You Say Run when they were behind Mia Storm at Kempton, but I thought the ground was too quick that day. It was a bit softer last time when she really dug deep to beat Molly Childers, who won during the week at Wincanton. I just think Ascot, this trip, this time of year, everything should be in place for Culture de Civil. And I think this is just a perfect case of her being the best horse in the race.
Can we see this going off favourite?
Yeah. Don't know. It's one of those. You know how well Magic of Light won last time at Newbury. She's obviously been well backed in the last few days, because I see that Paddy have shortened her quite dramatically from what she was. So we'll have to wait and see. But, I mean, I would make Culture de Civil very close to being fabulous.
Yeah, the last three favourites have taken this. Frank, let's have a lowdown of the market, please.
Yeah, currently Magic of Light is favourite 9-4, Culture de Civil, and If You Say Run 11-4, Jester Jet 7-2, and Retains Bar.
Lots of love for Culture de Civil there. Then let's move on through the card.
Frank,
of course, what do you fancy? A bookmaker and his tips, of course.
I'm gonna go against the lads here. I know If You Say Run, she's a bit wayward. She hung the lads twice. Very badly at Kempton, and if you go back and watch the race, like, I think she would have beaten Mia Storm only for hanging. Like, if you watch it, she hangs over to the rail and then they had a bit of ground kind of marked off and she had to come back in again. I think it cost her 3 or 4 lengths. She's only a length and a half ahead of Culture de Civil. I think Harry Cobden will bring her right over to the rail when they swing into the straight there. If she keeps straight, I think she's the one to beat, to be honest.
So this could be a tactical affair. What won't be a tactical affair, finally moving on, is the 225, the Matchbook Holloway's Handicap Hurdler Grade 3. Slight mixed bag of winners, but Jenkins took it last year for Nicky Henderson. No Henderson runner in this, but we could have a short price favourite. A real gamble, could be on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think those days are gone. It was a little bit shorter earlier in the week when they first come out, but then obviously the handicap had got hold of it and shoved him up £9 for winning the race at Wetherby. Now, one very easily was backed off the board to do so, and it's Charles Burns, got him off a really low mark and may well have more to come. But that race at Wetherby was a bit of a funny race. Beat a horse that was, you know, was a 10-year-old. That
was coming back off a
first
big
run
layoff,
from nearly 3 years off. Might still be good enough, and you have to respect anything Charles Burns lays out for a handicap, don't you? But I still prefer the chances of Seddon, the novice. I mean, he's got some, you know, he's run into a couple of cracking races, third to Elixir de Nuts at Cheltenham and again to Angel's Breath at Ascot in a slow run race. And he just looks, and his pedigree tells you that he's crying out for a trip. And I think now he's going up to nearly 2.5 mile. He will improve. You know, there's quite a case for saying that he ain't particularly well handicapped on what he's done, but he is going to be better over 2.5 mile, and I really fancy him.
Let's hope he's got some hurdles to jump this time as well.
Because they missed him out both times, haven't they? Yeah,
they did. DJ, those days are gone. Is this a likely race coup? This must have been the plan, mustn't it?
Yeah, when I see these Charles Burns horses at such a short price, my first instinct is always to take them on because they're underpriced. And this was a prime example of one who I thought was completely underpriced. And then I watched the race at Wetherby. I know what Paul says, obviously didn't beat much, but it was just the manner of the victory was very, very easy on the eye. And then there's just some snippets of form which makes me think he could be a hell of a lot better than 127. Like, he had sometime soon 16 lengths behind him in a Fairy House bumper last year. Sometime soon, I think he's rated 130 now. So like, that's one piece of form. He was ninth in a maiden hurdle at Goran Park in November, won by Bally Neaty. Sonora was fourth that day, won a maiden hurdle at Down Royal by 13 lengths on Boxing Day. And then the horse that finished even 14th that day, Lady Reuter, has been placed twice since. So I think it was a really good maiden hurdle. And I'd imagine it certainly wasn't the plan for Those Days Are Gone. I'd say it was just a gradual process towards the Cheltenham Festival or the Spring Festivals. I think this horse, the fact that Charles ran this in an Aintree bumper last season suggests that it obviously has plenty of ability. It's won a bumper. I think this could be a very, very good horse. I think 127 could underestimate him. He's favourite, and he probably shouldn't be favourite, but I still think he's the most likely winner. And I wouldn't be absolutely shocked if he went on to win the Coral Cup at the Cheltenham Festival.
Big shout. OK, so Frank, what sort of price are we looking at?
Yeah, firstly, we're 4 places here, but he's 11-4 currently. Ballymoy and Seddon are both 4-1. Better Get Along, 15-2. Newquay, 9-1, and we're 10s bar.
This Ballymoy, Paul, he's quite a nice horse, isn't he? He's very prolific.
He's a nice horse. He's high now, though, isn't he? I mean, if you've got
horses... £5, he went up £6?
Yeah, he's up to 147 now, and that's the problem. You've got horses running off 127 that Dave thinks might win the Coral Cup, and he's got to go up £10 to get into it. You know, so he's got his work cut out.
What about Newquay? The Skelton Yard seem to aim at these handicaps with great accuracy.
Didn't really do it for me, to be honest. I mean, I've got my blinkers on for Seddon.
Yeah. I have to say that I'm going to penalise that one as well with Seddon. I think he's got a massive chance. Okay, boys. Frank, can you give us a tip for this one, please?
Yeah, the one I kind of coming up, like with the 4 plays, I think Better Get Along's got a decent each-way chance. He had some solid enough form as a novice last year. He was third to Slate House at Cheltenham. He won either side of that at Ayr, second to Sawyer's Darris in a nothing real race at Kelso. But his reappearance at Haydock behind Ballymoy, he was kind of held up off the pace there and he ran on very nicely. It looked like he'd benefit a fair bit for it. He's £5 better off. I think the slightly bigger field and potentially stronger pace will suit him. And I think at 15-2, that's probably a fair each way bet against the Fav. I think, like, with Charles Burns' horse, it was just an executed gamble. It was perfectly executed. I think it was about 7-2 an hour and a half before the race and it just collapsed. And you knew turn out of the back straight what was going to happen. This is a better race, and while he could still be well handicapped, like, it'll be tough enough to win off £9 higher. Like, he found a weak race the last day. I'd be taking him on.
Okay, a bit of value there from Frank. Let's move along. This is a cracking race, I think, coming up next. The 3 o'clock at Ascot is the Bet365 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Some real course specialists here, a Benatar in particular, and some interesting novice form as well by Jerry's Back, who's also entered at Haydock as well. It'll be interesting to see which way he goes. Paul.
Sorry, mate, I was watching my tip at Chepstow and
it was jumping
the last, joining with a lead, and somehow it's managed to get knocked out of four, so I'm not very happy.
So Did you put it up each way?
No, I didn't, but I ended, because it was a bigger price than I thought it'd be last night, I backed it each way, so it just makes it even worse, doesn't it? I'll pay attention from now on, but I've no idea what you just said.
Things can only go upwards from here, let's face it, typical kills there. Looking at the 3 o'clock at Ascot, decent classy handicap.
Yes.
Benatar, I said, might have some decent course form. Jerry's back's got some novice form at the course as well. He's also in at Haydock. Of the two market leaders?
Neither, to be honest. I tell you why I don't like Benatar. I don't think that form at Ascot is any good.
Okay. Right.
Now, Valtor might have bolted up and, you know, was obviously favourite for the Peter Marsh late at Haydock. Right. But the second was Jamming Masters, and you will never see a horse jump so badly and finish a race, let alone finish in the frame. And for it to be second, I just think...
He's been turned over since as well.
Yeah, he's been turned over odds on in what was basically a match earlier on this week. So, yeah, I've got to question that form, because I can't... if you go and watch that form and watch Jamming Masters, see how many mistakes he makes and how on earth does he finish second.
Yeah.
I can't believe that that is a really, really strong piece of form. So I'm opposing that. Jerry's back. I'm just not 100% certain. The one that I'm massively, massively interested in is Blarmy de Picton, who has... you know, a 440-day layoff to recover from. But if there's one trainer you don't worry about that with, it's Venetia Williams.
And she's flying,
she can get ready. She's flying. She was thinking about a couple of seasons ago. Was thinking this is an RSA horse. Ran once last season. Actually gave weight impatiently more to think about than any other horse did last season. She might have been, he might have been getting £6, but. But, you know, that was when Waiting Patiently was rated 150, and he's now 170. Blarmy de Picton's actually been dropped £2 for his absence, so he runs off 146. If he's, you know, if he's the horse he promised to be after the layoff, then I think he's got to go very, very close.
It's a classy race, isn't it, with Mr. Whittaker in there?
It is a classy race. Mr. Whittaker's one of my favourite horses. I actually had a few quid at a massive price for the Gold Cup. I think he's running in the wrong race. I think if you're not fast enough to win a 2.5 mile handicap at Cheltenham on good ground, you're not going to be fast enough for the Ryanair. He is a half brother to Broadway Buffalo, who was second in the National Hunt Chase, I just think he is crying out now for a step up in trip. And even though Ascot's stiff in his 2.5 mile, I just think he might be rushed off his feet early again.
He's been burning up the gallops, apparently, hasn't he?
Apparently so, yeah. I mean, he's a good horse, don't get me wrong, he's a good horse, and I'm sure he's better than his mark of 152, but I would really wanted to see him at 3 mile.
Let's open up the floor then. Mr. Jennings, anything in this?
Yeah, I think Paul hit the nail on the head. I think Blarmy de Picton is by far the most interesting horse in the race, and... It could end up being by far the best of these, but I suppose you just don't know. The one at the prices I'm going to take a flyer on is Get on the Jaeger, something Paul often does on a night out.
Never seen that before.
I have. he's down to a mark of 136 now, which means he's only £3 higher than the mark he won the Roland Merrick off last year at Christmas. It's a second run after a wind-up, and I think he's better going right-handed than left-handed, even though he did win at Weatherby. Dan Skelton, like, what a man. Like, this trainer is just firing on all cylinders at the moment. I think of his last 19 runners going into today, he'd had 7 winners and 4 horses had been placed. So 7 winners at 19. They're absolutely bombing at the moment. This horse has been hugely disappointing. But the fact, I'd love horse a second time after a wind-up. And I think the fact that there's loads of pace in this race everywhere you look. And I actually think the trip could be ideal as well. Some people might think it's short of his best, but there's big prices out there about getting on the Jaeger, and I just think he could be the type just to take advantage of a lenient mark at the moment. So I'm going to chance Get on the Jaeger.
Starting to see a few more value calls coming in. Frank, where's your pin dropping?
Yeah, again, we're 4 places here, and I'll just run through the prices very quickly. Benatar's 9-2, Jury's back 6-1, Blarmy de Picton 13-2, Mr. Whittaker 7, Suriname and Mr. Medic, and Happy Deaver 8, were 10s bar. I'll be honest, Jed, I've kind of had a thing for Benatar since last year, and like I accept what Paul's saying, that maybe the form wasn't the strongest in the last run at Ascot over 3 miles, but again, it was difficult not to be impressed with how he went through the race. He travelled really strongly. I think the trip didn't really play to his strengths. He didn't get home. He's the only one to really go with the winner Valtor turning in and just weakens out of it. Again, it's just, you have to go back to that JLT and how well it's worked out, like with Terrafor winning a Grade 1, Ken Boy winning a Grade 1 at Christmas, Finian's Oscar won a Grade 1 at Aintree, West Approach has run well, Big Martyr won up in Ayr, Modus won a handicap and invitation, only with Grade 1 placed. Like, he's still only running off 149. I think he can definitely win off that mark, and he'd be the one I'd be siding on, even though he's favourite.
for the Moore camp, who's having a great time at the moment as well. Let's move on then, chaps. Most people going to Berkshire on Saturday, we're going to see one thing and one thing only, and that's Altior, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Can I just ask you, Frank, one thing? Why is it bookmakers bet anti-post on 20-runner handicaps and go a quarter to three, and then when there's 12 in it, they go four places on the day? What's going on?
I think it's just a strategy to have extra places available on big handicaps.
But why not four places when there's 20 at the 5-day stage, or 21 at the 5-day stage, wouldn't it?
Just at the moment, you don't know how fields are going to stand up, so you can't go the extra place anti-post
Pardon? Isn't that part of the anti-post makeup anyway? You get any money backed on non-runners, ain't you?
Oh, well, like as in, if you get done, but I mean, like as in, it's basically got to do with your margin. Like as in, if you're betting it four places anti-post, and that cuts up to eight, like, it's just very difficult to manage.
Yeah, but it's something that you always used to do, isn't it? And it's only in recent seasons that you started to do it, that only go to three places.
Because
obviously,
down
if somebody bets a non-runner with you, they've lost their money, haven't they, anti-post?
Yeah, it's more a calculation of what you think the field is going to be. Right, so if you think there's a solid enough chance you'll get 16+, that will be bet at four a quarter. Right. But if it's, like, history will tell you with a lot of these races that they don't attract 16. You could have 25 entries, but in all likelihood, the race has averaged 11 runners every year for the last 10 years, and you only had once ever had 16 or more. Like, that's a race you'd put up to quarter three then. So that's the reason.
Part of the risk punters take with anti-post betting, though, isn't it? Because, I've backed loads of non-runners. You don't give me money back.
You have to think that the anti-post market needs a bit of life injected into it, I suppose.
Yeah, I in my own view is, and it's not just Paddy Power, it's all bookmakers. They seem to price up races and they don't really want to take a bet on it. It's just to get the press to mention it. A bit of PR. But that's my whinge over.
That was like Andrew Neil and Jacob Rees-Mogg the other night on the BBC Parliament show. So we'll bring it back.
I hope I'm not Jacob Rees-Mogg character.
I'll leave it up to our viewers to decide who's who. I've got a fair idea. Let's bring it back to the Clarence House chase. And I've got a feeling you might have another moan here, Mr. Keeley. What's the matter with you? It's January. There's a lot of moaning going on.
Well, I haven't had a drink for a few weeks.
Neither have I, but I'm pretty happy. Let's talk about the Clarence House chase first and foremost, and what you think of it in recent years, and why.
Well, I mean, the fact is there are too many graded races in Britain and Ireland, and it means that horses can avoid each other. And the more graded races you have, then the best horses can stay away. Now, we have a unique situation where we've got a superstar at Altior, and whatever he runs against, he's going to be odds on. So we've only got three runners. But, this race has had small fields and odds on winners year in, year out, basically. And in the days when it was a handicap, it was a really, really high quality race. And a great betting heat. Now, I know people say, well, we want to see the best horses running grade ones, etc. But, why not throw a real, really valuable handicap in? There's only two 2-mile handicaps in the entire calendar worth more than 60 grand to the winner. Like, you know what I mean? Why is that?
Yeah.
Over 2 miles. You wonder why there aren't that many 2-milers around. There's nothing for them to go for. Like, so why not turn it back into the handicap that it was? Far better spectacle. And let Altior run in the game spirit instead if they don't want to give the weight away.
Yes, of course.
That's my argument. But anyway, he's going to win tomorrow, isn't he?
He's got two rivals, isn't he? One of real credibility, who we've not seen for a while. That's Fox Norton. And
Diego de Chama, who will plod round for third in his own time, maybe get second if Fox Norton isn't quite right. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Altior is just going to stroll home without coming off the bridle.
Mr. Jennings, can we put a more positive spin on this race?
Yeah, I think there could be a bet here. There's obviously distance markets and there's all different Altior specials and stuff like that. And you're taking your life into your own hands with these distance specials because you're relying on a jockey. But I think when you've only got three runners, there is an avenue here to have a distance bet. And Diego de Charmeil was 19 lengths behind Altior at Kempton. And the only possible target I could see for Diego de Charmeil is the Grand Annual, because I don't think, maybe he might run at Aintree, obviously, where he won his grade one. But I just think with Diego de Charmeil, the Grand Annual could be in the back of their minds, and he's not actually potentially badly treated on the best of his form. They're not going to be wanting to get within a couple of lengths of Altior here, I think. I could be completely wrong. I know it's a grade one. And then you've got Fox Norton, who's returning from a 398-day absence. Now, he has had a suspensory problem. He has gone well fresh in the past. But he's got a common sense jockey in Robbie Power on board, who will know the key thing for Fox Norton here is an enjoyable experience to get him back. He is not going to be crucifying Fox Norton to get within 6 or 7 lengths of Altior. And I could see these three horses finishing at long, long intervals. Altior is 6-4 with Paddy Power to win by 15 lengths or more. Obviously, he could be stopped to a walk and he could win by 7 lengths. That's the chance you're taking. But you're getting 6-4, about a 1-8 shot, winning by 15 lengths or more. And I think there's more than half a chance that Altior will win by 15 lengths or more. I think he could win by a huge winning margin here. And that's why I think 6-4 could be valued to win by 15 lengths or more.
You can tell the man that's just come off his honeymoon, the man that's not had a drink for a month. One looks at it one way, one looks at it the other. Frank, it seems a good time to move it over to the market. How do bookmakers play this race?
Yeah, it's 1-8 Altior, 7s Fox Norton, 16s Diego de Charmille. I think it's basically just a spin round for Altior. He's scared away everyone, hasn't he? Look, it's just a race for me. Just sit back and enjoy it. Watch him. He's probably one of the great chasers of my time of watching racing. You put him up there with Sprinter Sacra, Cato Star, Denman, the likes of them. He's up there.
What have you got him for the Queen Mother at the moment, Frank, with Paddy Power?
Just give me 1 second there and I'll get it.
That was a bit of a curveball.
Just while he's looking at that there, it is an absolute disgrace that this horse is rated 175. A disgrace. Are you telling me that he's only an £8 better horse than Fox Norton? He should be rated at least 178, 179, possibly 180.
I think that's a good shout, isn't it? We gave him a Racing Post rating of 182, Paul, when he won the Champion Chase.
Yeah, I definitely think he could be higher. It'd be nice for him to run against the competition to get him higher.
Let's assume that this was a handicap and 175. Do you think that Nicky Henderson might go, well, let's take our chance?
Yeah, it depends on what we'll be running.
Everything else would be a handicap.
You'd still be twos on to give, twos on, maybe threes on to give £8 to Fox Norton.
That seems like quite a strong argument for returning it to that case. Frank, did we get anything on the Queen Mother?
Yeah, we're 4-9 now, running a bet.
And are we expecting any change on that after tomorrow? Because punters will be thinking, should I be backing him now? Should I be getting? Because let's face it, barring accidents, this should be a stroll in the park for him.
Yeah, I can't see too much movement. At 1-8, I don't know. Maybe if someone's in, they might feel that the odds are cutting to 2-5, but I think that's the most you could be doing off the back of winning at 1-8.
Okay, that concludes matters at the Berkshire track. After the break, we'll be going up the country to Haydock, what promises to be an informative card.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's have a look at the ITV races at Haydock then on Saturday. Starting off in the 2:05, the Skybet Supreme Trial Rossington Mail Grade 2. Interesting race this. Mr. Henderson has one in here that's going to be, we think, a short price. It's interesting he's not had a winner since 2007 when Amaretto Rose won, Paul. Mr. Fisher.
Yeah, we're talking earlier in the week and we had Di Waters really talking up Angel's Breath and it was assumed that he was going to come here. But now we've got Mr. Fisher. He's odds on. I don't think he deserves to be odds on. I'm not convinced the form of his race at Kempton. I thought that was a funny race. I just thought too many horses weren't going that well from a long way out. So I'm not convinced about that race. I'm not 100% convinced about Bright Forecast either. I only beat Humble Hero, who dogged it at Ludlow yesterday. So then you've got the next two in the betting. It surprises me that Paddy have got ID de Garda points shorter than Esprit de Large, when on RPRs, Esprit de Large is a £24 better horse than what they've shown so far. I think Esprit de Large could be potentially the future horse out of this race. He travelled really, really well in a bumper at Chepstone, his first start, and was completely clueless turn of home, and he was pretty clueless last time when he made his debut over hurdles, but he absolutely
and he won by 11
lengths, by 10, 11 lengths. He's getting £3 off Mr. Fisher on RPRs. He's only what we've got here. He's only £5 behind on him. He's only run once over hurdles. I'd take a chance on him at around about the 8-1 mark.
Let's go to Frank then. Frank, if you could give us prices for this race and then exactly what you think of the rake up.
Mr. Fisher's 4-5, Bright Forecast 5-2, I Degard 7-1, Esprit de Large 8-1, Muratello 12-1 were 100th bar. It's a tricky race. Mr. Fisher, I thought he was impressed with Kempton, but he was getting weight off the whole field, if I remember correctly. He won his bumper at Kempton, so that kind of track might suit better and going right-handed. Now, the only thing I would say is he went off 6-1 for the entry bumper. He was third favourite, disappointed a small bit there, but they obviously think he's pretty useful. Bright Forecast, I look at the Leicester race and I was like, oh, I don't really want to be with him. But the only thing is his Newbury win prior to that, where he came from the clouds to win late, has worked out relatively well. The likes of just like Dashiell Drasher, Melcher King and Howling Man and West of the Bridge have all come out and won from that race. It's probably solid enough. It's not a race I'd be mad keen to have a bet, but I kind of be with Paul. The Spirit de Large, he was very impressive while beating a bad enough race the last day. And at the prices, he might be worth a small bet, but I wouldn't be going mad in this one, to be honest.
Recent winners of this race then, a Neon Wolf just got touched off in the Ballymore. Peddler's Cross won it in 2011. DJ, is there anything of that calibre in this race?
I think there is. I think the favourite's a good thing. I think the lads are playing it down, that race at Kempton. And I know what Paul says. You know, it was watching it visually, it was a messy type of race. There were so many horses beaten early. But at the time, we thought this was probably the best novice hurdle we'd seen so far this season. You got Thomas Darby in there, the big bite. Did They Leave You Out Too, who had won at Ascot. And I actually think it was a better race than people are giving it credit for. The second who I am in love with, Rouge Vif, who I think is going to make a smashing chaser someday for Harry Whittington. This horse was well beaten by Mr. Fisher. The time before that at Suddle, he beat Oakley by 10 lengths. Oakley has come out and won since and is rated 130. So you're basically saying that Mr. Fisher is vastly superior to Oakley, who's rated 130 on a line through Rouge Vif. I love the way he won that race at Kempton. I thought he was more impressive than the winning margin suggested. If you were to give me two bets right now in the Supreme Novice Hurdle, I would back Vision Donair and I'd back Mr. Fisher. I think they are the most likely stars in the Supreme at the moment. And I'll be very, very disappointed if Mr. Fisher doesn't win this.
No angel's breath at Kempton, at Ascot either, of course, so we should say. So interesting question marks there. Okay. That's that. Let's move on to the 240, the newly named, the new one, Unibet Hurdle, registered as a champion hurdle trial. We'll get onto that in a second. Frank, can you give us market odds for this, please?
Yeah, Silver Streaks 13-8, Western Rider 3-1, Moyed 7-2, Global Citizen 4-1, and Pink Shoe 12-1.
Paul, champion hurdle trial?
Not really, is it? There aren't that many of those these days, are there?
Not
especially
really.
Not in Britain. Obviously. It's a tricky little race, and it all depends because there's plenty of rain forecast at Haydock, which, you know, rain which may be snow. Now, Silver Streak wants decent ground. You could argue that Global Citizen also does, but he actually won a decent handicap on softish ground at Newbury last time. I'm sort of leaning towards him. I don't think he quite ran his race at Kempton last time. I don't know for what reason, whether he just went too fast. But it is a tight race. Western Rider has got some solid handicap form. Obviously, he's got a bit to find with Mo Hayed, who beat him in that decent race at Ascot last time. To be honest, it's not a race I want to have a bet.
DJ, how about you? Are you going to be smashing anything?
No. I think this is really, really tricky. I think the only... Yeah, it's one of them races where if any of them won, even Ping Shu, you kind of say, oh, yeah, well, that could have happened. You can't really rule any of them out. Global Citizen is interesting. I think, obviously, he's going to make the pace in the race. But when I went down through it, I thought the only one that was potentially a little bit of value at the moment is probably Western Rider, because the race will be run to suit. I think even though his best piece of form when beating Lawler and Somerville Voy was at Cheltenham, I just wonder, is he a flat track horse? He didn't really come up the hill in the Greatwood that well, I didn't think. He's £4 better off with Silver Streak for that Greatwood run. I thought he ran perfectly respectably last time. I think he'll finish ahead of Moa ahead this time. I think the fact that there's plenty of pace in the race, I'd imagine he'll just track Global Citizen. And given the way the ground is likely to go, I think that'll suit him more than Silver Streak. So it'll be Western Rider for me, but nothing too strong.
Yeah, the ground seems to be key in this race. Frank, which way are you playing?
Yeah, it depends, like, how much, you know, moisture gets into the ground. If it remains good to soft in places, I'd probably come down the side of Silver Streak. Like, he's run against Western Rider twice this year in the Greatwood and last time out in the International, finished ahead in both times. He holds Moyed as well on the Greatwood run. Global Citizen, apparently there was a small bit of an issue with him at Kempton. Didn't find out what it was, but Ben Pauling came out, I think, last week to say they'd found something and they corrected it. So you could probably forgive him a small bit. And on the Newbury run, he'd have a squeak. But I think the more solid option here is probably Silver Streak, as long as the ground doesn't deteriorate too much.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So that looks like it's going to be a quiet betting race. One race that isn't will be the 3:15, the Peter Marsh Handicap Chase. Really wide open race. Paul?
Yeah, difficult one. I can't really have Valtor because of the reasons I said about the Ascot race, and he's up massively, isn't he? What did he go up? He went up £12 for that. So that's... you know, he's got to prove himself again now, I think. You know, as Nicky Henderson said the other day, he was preparing for the Grand National.
Mark 160 now, isn't it? Yeah.
Like, you know, Mark 160, that's going to be a struggle. Will the ground be soft enough for the Klondike? I think he wants a real, slog. Two that interest me. First one is one I backed earlier in the week, Captain Redbeard. Obviously, he tailed off over the Grand National fences last time, but he absolutely loves Haydock, always runs well.
It's not the first time he's flopped at Aintree, is it?
No, it's not. And he was second in a race last year. He was third in a six-runner handicap chase to Vintage Clouds two starts ago. And you won't see an unlucky horse. It was only six runners in the race. Two of them fell. Both of them did it right in front of him. And he got hammered both times. He wasn't beaten very far. Is he really well handicapped? No. But he will run his race, and I think he'll be in the frame. And the other one is, you know, the one horse I think, you know, who could, even though he's an 11-year-old, blow it away is Otago Trail. He was a distant second to Bristol to Mire a few years ago. We ran a blinder in a rehearsal at Newcastle on his comeback. You can forgive him the bounce next time at Haydock, I think. Hugh Nugent taking £7 off. That's quite interesting, isn't it? I think he will run well.
He's doing quite well.
They would be the two for me.
Okay, Frank, let's just go to you quickly and have a look down the list. How are you pricing it?
Again, we're four places here. The Klondike's 4-1, Valtour 5-1, Red Infantry 13-2, Robinsford 7-1, Otago Trail 15-2, Ballyarter 8-1, Captain Redbeard and Ballydiner 9-1, and we're 10s bar.
And what's the pick of the prices, Frank, there for you?
Yeah, it's almost like a copy session here where I echo everything that Mr. Keady said. Captain Redbeard is the one I really like. The Klondike, like the extra, what was it, 2.5 furlongs from the last day will really suit him, but I think he wants proper bad ground to beat his very best. Valtour's obviously got hammered, and to win a handicap of 160 would be a tremendous feat. I think that'll probably stop him. Captain Redbeard is just really solid at Haydock. Like, if you look at his form, he's had 6 runs, 2 wins, 2 seconds, 2/3. Both times when he's won, he carried, like, I think 10 stone 3 and 10 stone 12. He gets here off 10 stone 8. He'll really, you know, I think the lightweight will really help him over this trip. There's a few in here out of form, like Chase the Spud, wouldn't be gone 3 Musketeers. I think he's really solid for the places. And as Paul said already, that run behind Vintage Clouds was very unlucky. And Vintage Clouds is one that would be on my list potentially for a Grand National later in the year. So I think it was a really good effort. And I think provided he gets a bit more luck in running here, he'll be difficult enough to keep out of the frame.
And DJ, you said you fancied loads to me and Paul as we were coming into the studio. You must love one here.
I do. Well, I've narrowed down to two. One of them was Captain Redbeard, who I thought had a huge chance, obviously, as the lads have said.
That's
more than I ever could.
For Captain Redbeard, well.
Yeah, no, he certainly has. But the one I slightly prefer than Captain Redbeard is Red Infantry, who ran a remarkable race at Sandown, just looked to have absolutely no interest. It was like Paul Keighley on a Monday morning after a feed of beer at the weekend. Going into work.
Just you should see him at the moment. He's literally springing into the office.
Didn't want to be there. And for the first mile of the race. So to finish second to Morney Wing in the manner he did, I thought was a remarkable performance. Now, there's obviously a worry that he could do that again and sulk in the early part of the race. And it took a while for his jumping to warm up. But he was very impressive when he beat Bishop's Road and his only start at Haydock. That was over 3 mile 4. I don't think the 2 furlong shorter trip will make too much odds to him. He's a career high mark of 142 to defy. But I thought that race at Sandown was a proper race, run at a proper clip. And even horses that were well beaten there have come out and run well since. I do think Haydock will suit him. It's just the fences at Haydock, obviously, is a slight concern. Hopefully they're a little bit easier than they were earlier on in the season. But he's the one that I just think could be very much on the improve. So it would be a slight preference for Red Infantry over Captain Redbeard for me.
Cheers, DJ. Okay, racing also due to be at Navan, Lingfield, Taunton and Wolverhampton. Let's get Saturday's best bets.
This will not be beaten.
Let's go in reverse order then. DJ, your Saturday nap.
What do you mean reverse order?
That could mean anything when you're around, actually, couldn't it? I'm trying to bring you in first here, DJ.
I presume you mean in terms of importance, which you're absolutely 100% right. My banker of the weekend and my nap is Culture de Sevilla in the 150 at Ascot. And just two others I want to mention. I thought Django in the 4:15 at Haydock could win again. He's off a 5-pound higher mark. I thought he got away lightly for that. And two at Navan, actually. Dial Kerr, who would have won a maiden hurdle at Leppersen had he not stumbled after the last runs in the 1 o'clock at Navan. I think he'll make amends there. And Herret for Charles Burns in the 135. Won the race last year off 115. It's only £5 higher now. Loves Navin. And Philip Enright, who rode him to win the race last year, is booked as well. But my nap is Culture de Sevilla in the 150 Alaska.
Bullish as ever. I'm sure everyone's writing them down. Frank, not suggesting you're the meat in the sandwich. What's your Saturday nap?
Yeah, my nap is the 3:45 at Haydock, Admiral's Secret. This horse has won three of its last four over fences, was second on its reappearance at Exeter in a race that's worked out quite well. The third, Knight of Sin, has won at Fontwell. The fourth, New Millennium, won at Leicester. And even the seventh won a novice hurdle at Taunton. He then went to win Canton off a £2 higher mark and one very, I think if you go back and watch it, he travelled really strongly. He was held together until the last and just cleared away. He kind of idled a bit in front. The way he travelled to me suggests he's a fair bit in hand. He only got £5 for that. And even that race has worked out. The second on Top of the World won a match next time out. The four Bow Bay won up in Weatherby. I think he's very well handicapped of 125 and it doesn't look the strongest race. Again, as long as the ground doesn't get bad up there. If it stays on like just the soft side of good, I think he'd be very difficult to beat. I just had a couple elsewhere, if that's okay. The 3:10 at Lingfield, Probability. It was an eye catcher on its debut when really well supported back in May at Chelmsford. Got no luck in the run whatsoever that day. Was off the track until last month, came back. Was very weak in the market but ran a really solid race to come second. Now it went, I think, fives out to 10 on the show that day, suggesting it needed it badly. The six came out and won at Newcastle last night. You might get a little bit of a decent price because it's a kind of a well-bred William Haggis horse and a second start in there. I think that's interesting. And over at Navin, the 2:10, Gooseman is going back over hurdles off a much lower mark. He's rated 134. Over fences. I think he's running off like 104 or 5 or something over hurdles. He'll probably be difficult to beat, but he might still mean we might get a price about the horse I like called Lady Writer. She made her handicap debut at Punchestown there. Was it last week or the week before? Over 3 miles. She bumped into one of Gavin Cromwell's called Global Race, and there was an absolute smash up job that day. She was the only one to really go with that. Hung really badly approaching the last, and after the last, stayed on well to be third. I think she's shaped like the second best horse in the race that day. The drop to 2.5 might actually be a help, and I'd imagine she'll be ridden up against the rail, so she won't be able to hang left. I think if you got kind of like 8 to 12 to 1 on that, it'd be a fair each way bet against Gooseman.
Some strong opinions out there. Paul, round us off.
I'm gonna take a chance with a nap on Bellamy to pick Tom for Venetia Williams, because I just think it could be very, very well handicapped. So ought to be worth mentioning Taunton, because they've got their big day tomorrow. They've got there's a handicap hurdle I'm half interested. 2 mile free furlong handicap hurdle, 2:15. I'm kind of hoping that the magic hands of Bryony Frost will kid Raven's Tower into putting his best foot forward. Ran a moody race last time, but was a good third the time before, and is well handicapped. Dropped another,
like the ground.
Dropped another couple of pounds. Like the ground, if it doesn't get too soft, because they are due plenty of rain today. And that brings me along to the 250, their Weatherby's Portman Cup Chase. Now, this is a conditions race, and I'm going to take a complete flyer on a horse with no chance on the book, and that is the veteran Regal Flow, because he absolutely loves Taunton. Goes really well there. And looking at the others, if the rain gets into the ground, I don't see Present Man staying for 3.5 miles if the ground gets soft. Thomas Patrick's just been really disappointed in the two rungs. Well, Vacation, you've no idea how he's going to run. I don't see 2 for 2 staying 3.5 miles. Vicente's gone at the game. The Last Samurai might be the one to pick up the pieces, but I'll take a chance on the rag because he's going to be a big price.
Classy affair, that, isn't it? So, sounds like Saturday's all about weather watching. We'll have a look at Sunday after this break.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
On to Sunday's cards then. We've got Exeter and Ayr in Britain, and over in Ireland there's an interesting card at Thurles. Is that how you pronounce that, DJ? I'm terrible with these Irish courses. And
Pronounce it as though it's spelled T-U-R-L-I-S.
Thurles.
Thurles. Yeah. Thurles.
Absolutely not that. Yeah.
You just don't pronounce T-H at all though, do you?
Do you?
No, I can't say three. I said three.
Tree.
Three. 33. If I'm in room 33 in a hotel, it's a disaster.
Well, there aren't 33 field sizes over there at the moment in Ireland, are there? It looks like small fields are set to continue this weekend. Let's have a look at the 2:10, the feature race there over there, in a grade two. The Thurles Horse and Jockey Hotel Chase. This has been won by Sizing John 2 seasons back and Don Cossack 2 years in a row. So it used to be a pivotal trial for the Gold Cup. DJ, where are we going?
This is really interesting because 2A per me is a real, real improver. And the way he won the Tri-Town suggests that he's a potentially a grade one horse in the making. But I have long thought that a mark of 152 underestimates Invitation Only, who I was so sweet on for the Thiestas on Thursday if he ran. But obviously he's not going to run because he's going here instead. 2.5 miles at Thurles on this ground should be fine for Invitation Only. Obviously he needed to run badly at Tremor in his comeback. He was coming on the back of a fall at Punchestown. He's just one of these horses. He's really, really hot and cold, which is frustrating. But when he's on a going day, he's a proper horse. Like when you go back to his run in the Flowgas last season, he was a length behind Monoly. Alboom Photo was second that day. He was only a head behind him. And there was the likes of Snow Falcon and the Storyteller and really good horses in behind him that day. I think Ratvinden fell in that race as well. So I think Invitation Only is a horse we haven't seen the best of yet over fences. And when he's on a going day, if he gets into a rhythm early, I think he's the horse to beat. And at the moment, I think he's a better horse than 2A per me. So it would be Invitation Only for me.
Frank, before you give us your selection in this race, can we have a market update?
Yeah, Invitation Only is favoured at 2-1. Total Recall and 2A per me are both 9-4. Sub-Lieutenant 7-1, number 20's bar.
Frank, which one would you be playing here?
Yeah, like, I can see where David's coming from. Dare I say it, Winnie Mullins isn't in the best of form for him. Like, he's still getting winners, but it would just hold me back a little bit with backing one of his. And 2A per me is one I'd probably take a chance on. Look, in his two runs for Noel Neat, it's been very impressive at Galway in a nothing race really, but in the Tri-Town he was so impressive. Like, you felt he could definitely make the step up in grade, and at the prices, I'd probably just about side with him.
Paul, anything to add?
Not really, no. I quite like the youngster as well. I think he's improving. Invitation Only is going to have to step up quite dramatically on the first run. Because I think it was 22 lens by Albin Photo, who I know is a good horse, but I think he's got to step up on it to give £3. 2AP me could be a fair bit better than the 150 yet. So, yeah, take a chance on that.
He looks interesting. Sorry, DJ, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I fancy Invitation Only, but one thing I can absolutely guarantee at the moment that 2A per me is 9-4. I think 2A per me will go off about 5-4.
Has his jumping gone to pot, Invitation Only? I really fancied him in the JLT. It all went wrong for him there. I don't think he's really jumped since, has he?
No, he has a habit of just hitting one at the wrong time. Yeah. And it's so frustrating because even when you go back to his run at Fairy House, when he was third to Alboom Photo, he travelled like a dream that day under Paul Townend. And he just hit the second last when I thought he might actually win. So if he gets that out of the way, he could be a grade one horse, I think.
OK, so could have an interesting market there. Let's move on to the other feature race at Turlers then, the 240, the Order of St George. Cornwall National Hunt Sires Irish EBF Mares Novice Chase. This has been won in 2015 by the likes of Vroom Vroom Mag. Interesting market, I think, here. Frank, where are we expecting it to lead?
Yeah, we haven't actually got this priced up yet, but I would be pretty surprised if Camilla Ducat isn't favourite. When this is priced up, it'd probably be tomorrow afternoon, I think. Like, she's 4 from 5 over fences. The only day she was beaten was at Tipperary behind Larice Berg and Robin DeForey. She's 4 from 4 against mares, and it's not a race that really excites me too much, but I think she's probably going to be difficult to beat.
She's got to give £3 to Mary DeVee, who looked like a real chaser in waiting, didn't she, when she won on her chasing debut for Paul Nolan last time. DJ, has she got any chance?
She has a chance. Yeah, I think Camilla Ducat is going to be very hard to beat. Like, she posted an RPR of 1.43 last time when winning impressively, I thought, at Cork. And I think the horse to follow her home will be Tell Me Annie, who I think will benefit from that experience at Cork. I think it's between them two, and I think Camilla Ducat will win.
Looks like she might be a short price in, Paul.
I hope they're right. I hope they're right about how the market's going to go anyway, because, you know, Marie DeVee was a £20 better horse than Camilla Ducat. Over hurdles. I mean, he's still talking about an RPR 1.43. She was rated 1.47 over hurdles. So, you know, she's only been over him once, won easily in a Mickey Mouse race. She could still have a lot more in her.
Did jump well, didn't she, last time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously horses improve at different rates, and Camilla Ducat's improved for fences no end. But, I mean, if Marie DeVee was a much better horse over hurdles. So,
it would be good to see Nolan with a nice horse again, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look at the other cards. Anything else, lads, from the Turlers card before I go to Paul for our domestic meetings?
Yeah, two for me, Dave. Teacher's Pet in the 3:15. I don't think she stays 3 miles, and 2 miles is too short, so 2.5 miles should be perfect for Philip and Luke Dempsey in the 3:15. And I like Ask Niall in the 1:35. Raise 122 over fence, over hurdles is a bit higher over fences. I just thought at Punchestown last time got hampered at the wrong time, was forced to switch out wide and stayed on quite nicely. Ridden more prominently here, I think Ask Niall could potentially win the 1:35.
Frank?
Just a couple of horses I'm interested in looking at. In Air, the 1:25, Ask Ben. I think he's probably a little bit flattered in his defeat of Beakstown at Newcastle last time. Obviously, there was a void to race he ran in last time. But even if he can replicate that form, he probably will take all the beating in the 1:25 at Air. And a horse, it's probably not a betting proposition, but in the 2 o'clock at Air then as well, Sam's Gunner, he's reappearing over a trip that's probably short of his best. But if you go back, he was the winner of the EBF final March last year. He's going over fences. He was pulled up in the Sefton at Aintree behind Santini. He only went off 12-1 that day. He started off over 2 miles, probably too short, but he's one to monitor how his jumping goes, and he could probably be one for a nice handicap before the year is out.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse, isn't he? Paul, domestically, Exeter and
Air. Yeah, I have a couple of Exeter. I couldn't find anything at Air, and Exeter is quite a weak card for Exeter, but there's two bottom weights that I quite like. In the first race, I won 10. Galactic Power ran a really good second at Exeter two starts ago.
Robin Dickens horse,
9-year-old, has won there as well. I think he'll go well. And in the 4 o'clock, we've got a horse, one of those horses with a name in those spaces. It's called Findus at Gorkham. When I read it first, you can tell I'm on a diet because I read it as Findus to start with and I'm starved. But anyway, he was a good second at Fontwell last two starts. I mean, last time to the Ogle Goggle Man, and I thought that was a fair race for the grade. And he was he was only beaten a length and a half, was 18 lengths clear of the third. I think he'll go well. I mean, he has run at Exeter before, not so well, but I'm not going to hold that against him because it was just the once.
Okay, I thought the 3:25 at Exeter was quite interesting. Yaltari's in that, isn't it? The excellent jumper.
Yes, it is. It is a very good jumper, yes.
Okay, so plenty for us to look at then over the weekend. We'll either be rich and hopefully not in a ditch come Monday morning. That's it for the weekend's racing.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.